I was scared. I was scared. I was scared too. You're listening to. I was scared to Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Chucky, the Leprechaun. Take it away, Mr. Movies. Give him hell, kid cinema.
I'm a monkey. I'm a little monkey.
I was going to say, Fesh, before we get into it, we haven't recorded a podcast in a while. Should we do a sound and movement opening, a warm-up?
Well, we just did, I think.
Yeah, well, let's can keep going with the sound and movement.
I'm a monkey.
I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey. I'm a monkey. He's a monkey. He's a monkey. He's a monkey. All right, that's all I really had. Folks, if you've never done improv, that was a sound and movement opening. It's where you use sound and movement to come up with ideas for improv scenes.
And I think if you've never done improv before, that explanation makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you couldn't see too, like, because it's an audio medium. Yeah. We were moving around. Yeah. I was scratching my armpits. Fesh was eating a banana, pretending to eat a banana. Because that's another important thing about improv. There's no objects. So Fesh was pretending to eat a banana, like miming.
Well, all right, let's get into it. It's called object work.
Yes. Yes. And what does that mean?
You know, it's like mime, but, you know, not quite mime. You could talk.
Why is it called object work? It's kind of a dumb name.
I mean, you're pretending to
work. Objects, I guess.
Yeah, that's the work you're doing.
Should call it mime.
But you can talk. Pantomime. That's the thing. Yeah, maybe pantomime. Mm, yeah.
Good point. Yeah, you're right. Whatever. There's a rich history to improv, you know, and I'm sure sometimes names just needed a name, and that's what they call it. That.
I don't think it's really a name. It's like saying your business. Whatever work. You know, blank work is like a thing you just say to, like, skill. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh well, yeah, they came up with a label for these things at some point in time. It's Or I think in acting, they say business. Like, some business. Like, set up a coffee machine or stir a coffee. A lot of coffee.
Right. Well, the business is the giant category of stuff to do. And then one of the things within that is object work. Or, you know, whereas, like, just movement. Like, I hate this. I don't want to think about this.
Yeah. Hey, it's I Was Scared
Too.
A horror movie podcast.
Yes.
Where we discuss horror movies and sometimes horror adjacent video games and horror events such as Halloween Horror Nights.
I love you, but can I just give you just a cleaner way to sum it up?
Sure.
All things horror. We're a couple of horror geeks who are here to give you the freshest updates on all things horror. You've been to an AMC recently, right?
Oh, yes. In the great Midwest.
Oh.
An AMC Chicago. In the Midwest, yeah.
Have you seen these people? They just are like, these are influencers who you you know them. They're just like, hey, what's up? I'm Perry Mantelos, and I'm here for all of your Marvel needs.
It's before the movies, right? Yes. Kind of like they're filling in the gap of Maria Menounos, who probably just didn't want to film new stuff.
Right. But it's I don't know. There's something about just the, you know me, I've always been here. And it's like,
But I have to say, I went to see Doctor Strange with my sister, you know, who doesn't really go to movies much, is more of an online person. Uh-huh. And she went, whoa, it's that guy. I know him from TikTok.
Okay, they are real. Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
In a way where it's like, I guess he got a lot of money. And she goes, he does a lot of good TikTok videos about Marvel stuff or something.
I can't speak to that because I haven't seen it, but what he does for AMC is the most boring baseline takes. Not takes. They're just like, so in this movie, the Multiverse of Madness, it's going to take off fresh off the heels of Spider-Man No Way Home. And they're talking about a lot of new crossover characters being in it. It's like, uh-huh. What do you need to do to prepare for the Multiverse of Madness? I would watch Marvel's What If. And it's like, okay, got it.
These
Multiverse in the Marvel movie. I got it.
They seem to be designed for my dad.
Sure.
To ignore, ultimately. But the goal is...
Right.
Is in the AMC creative's mind, it was like, oh, this will help JZT's dad understand Doctor Strange. Which I also have to say, my dad, we watched the Falcon and the Winter Soldier over Christmas break. Had a great time. Enjoyed it. Just me, my mom, my dad. He really enjoyed it, you know?
Sure.
We watched some Hawkeye, like the first two or three episodes which were available at the time. Dad had a good time. Liked it. When we meet up as a family... My dad goes, just go. Oh, man. He goes. You're gonna go see that Doctor Strange movie with this vitriol.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Where did this hatred come from? I truly don't get it. But which I guess to his credit, he did not understand Endgame at all. You know,
sure.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Is it possible that he just thinks the title Doctor Strange is pretty silly?
Probably.
Yeah, that's fair.
Probably.
But fun movie, I think.
A very fun movie, yes.
Raimi ain't dead.
Doctor Strange, however.
Well.
So yeah, this is I Was Scared Too. It's a horror movie podcast. I'm Mr. Movies, aka GZT.
Oh, sorry, I jumped in there. Oh. I'm Kid Cinema, aka Fesh.
And together, we are Mr. Movies, aka GZT, and Kid Cinema, aka Fesh.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, motherfuckers?
It's your friends. You love listening to us.
You love us. We love you.
Yes. Oh, the pod's over already? I'm kidding.
Hey. What Fetch is referring to is that at the end of episodes, we typically say we love you. But, you know, it's been a while, so we just wanted to remind you.
Boy, has it been a while. What, March?
Oh,
probably. It's like a whole month we missed.
You know, yeah.
Well,
too much moving and shaking in Hollywood for me, you know. I had to muscle my way into the elbows of stardom. And
what special event has forced us to make there was no other choice but to come back and pod. Hit it, Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday, partying, eek!
Yes.
It's Friday the 13th.
It's Friday the 13th, and what do we do in this podcast? We fucking keep our promises, and we said... We said, Friday the 13th, in real life, means on the pod, we cover one of those Friday the 13th movies.
That's
and
right.
Here we are. Jason, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan.
That's right. We've covered Friday the 13th, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
We covered Friday the 13th, Jason X.
Yes.
Not Friday the 13th isn't part of the title, but, you know, it's...
The rights of this franchise, man. Ooh, we do.
Well,
currently owned by
it.
LeBron James, I believe.
Oh, yeah. He brought the rights to this like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
Hollywood entrepreneur LeBron James.
LeBron, let's take a meeting.
LeBron, I'm in L.A. now. You're in L.A. for at least a little bit now.
Where's he going now? What's up with LeBron?
Well, that's the... you know, he's probably sticking with the Lakers, but they haven't been doing too good, so a lot of shakeups are going to be necessary.
Who's the best team right now? Pelicans?
No, they're very good, and I have high hopes for them next season.
Good.
They really... came to party in the finals, and they
gave
the Phoenix
style.
Suns. The Phoenix Suns are number one right now. They won the most this season, so they're a favorite to win it all.
Now, do they have a star player, or is it just good fundamentals?
They do. Their star would be Chris Paul, who stars in a lot of State Farm commercials. Yes. He's a little weasel, and I think he's a real teacher's pet. But
who's the teacher? The coach?
The coaches, the referees. His big thing is one time he won a game because he ratted out to the referees. His uniform isn't tucked in, which is technically a rule. So then they had to pause.
Chris.
And then his team got like the ball. And this is like
Chris.
The most fucking teacher's pet. Like,
Chris.
Yeah, that's Chris Paul for you. They also have Devin Booker, who's a young up and comer, and he's great. Mm-hmm. He's dating Kendall Jenner.
Awesome.
Yeah,
dude, that rules.
Cool. Yeah,
I love that Booker and Kendall are together.
Booker
personally.
And Kendall sitting in a tree.
JZT, that energy.
K-I-N-G.
Oh,
yeah.
I was gonna say that energy of which you spilt that. I'm assuming public tea. was that you should be a TikToker about celebrity dating?
Ooh. That's I could get in on that.
Yeah,
that'd be an angle for me. You know what? Let's see. What other gossip doing? Oh my God, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Their divorce is crazy.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's too much to get into. Basically, they're both insane.
That's what it seems like.
And one of them, I think, is kill one of them, Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really don't know anything about it.
Yeah,
I've gone too far.
There's a lot going on. I don't know.
Paul Scheer described it as if two characters from Euphoria went to court. Where, because they both said crazy things, and it comes up in court. He goes, "You didn't say this." He goes, "No, yeah, I did.
Yeah, I said that."
Yes. Yeah, no. Yeah.
They're people who were given millions of dollars to not have jobs.
Yep.
Yeah, what do we expect them to be normal for? We got to stop pretending celebrities are going to have our normal tempo and baseline when nothing about their lives would lead to that.
It's like, oh, wait a minute. I had enough money to buy an island and spend $200,000 a day on wine, and then crazy shit happened?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's gonna happen. But yeah, so we covered.
I think that's it. I think it's just those two. I think this is
anyway,
our third Friday the 13th episode.
And this movie did so poorly that they sold the rights to New Line Cinema,
right?
Which
would allow us to get to Freddy vs. Jason eventually.
That's right. But for now, we're talking Friday the 13th, Part 8.
Jason takes Manhattan, and boy, does he!
Takes Manhattan, all right.
Boy, does he.
Which, and now, we, both Fesh and I, used to live in Manhattan.
Work in Manhattan.
Work in Manhattan, yeah. I lived in a dorm or two in Manhattan, so
that's
I
true.
Count.
Did you ever crash
on a couch in Manhattan?
I did for 2 months, so I don't know if we're counting that or not, but...
I would count it.
Well, 2 weeks, and then... then Jersey for a little bit, and then back in Manhattan for 2 months. I don't know, whatever. Longer than Jason is in Manhattan in this movie. So
that's right.
When I was working in Manhattan, I was at a movie theater, and this was a midnight movie at the Landmark Sunshine Cinema in which I worked. And our GM or one of the managers at the time was just like canning out the new midnight flyers or posting them up or whatever. And I hated this guy, so I don't know why we were having a conversation, but I asked what this movie's deal was or something, and he was the one to spell out to me, and it's just such a horror thing to be like, oh, so in the eighth one he's supposed to go to New York, but it's mostly on a boat.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just, I don't know, our previous episode was Leprechaun 4 in space, which is another one of those just like tropes. Something about getting these guys on a vessel is so intoxicating in this era.
Yeah,
the screenwriters can't avoid the siren call of what if they were on a vessel.
Well, it's also, it is just this funny thing of like, so then why are we married to the title Takes Manhattan if we know we're going to get complaints?
But that's the thing. I think that right there is a more modern thought that just wasn't a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In that time, just like, well, why would they care? They're there to eat popcorn and kiss, like, you know. It's,
yeah,
it's the same way you watch like a Hulk Hogan match, and you're like, he's just blatantly cheating, but he's the number yeah. one big hero. No one cared.
Well, and you know what, too? It speaks to the difference of what a franchise means now and what it meant in 1989.
Yes.
And then it was just like, it's just another fucking one of these. Like, mm-hmm. who gives a shit? Versus
what,
now,
we put it
it's
in
like
the theater, absolutely. But
yeah. Now it's like we care about this property so much. We want to honor you, fans.
Yeah. Again, imagine one of these TikTokers before, like, what do you got to do to catch up to Jason Takes Manhattan? You
know? Well, it's like reading up on this, just like. I forget who, but I can look. One of the actors from Seven was like, I would like, they wanted her to come back. She's like, can I get paid slightly more money? And they went, nah, no. Sorry, we don't have enough money to slightly pay you like $50 more a day.
Yeah.
We'll just write you out of the movie. It's like,
and
okay.
That's the thing. So because they didn't have Maria Menounos and folks like that to tell you what happened in the movies before, which by the way, is like, not, it's, there's nothing modern, like, it's modern philosophy, I guess, but technologically, it's not like they couldn't have, before the previews, just somebody going, hey, so this is what's up. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like the technology advanced so we can have more shit played in front of a movie. It's just that we decided we're going to do that now. Like,
yeah.
I remember the first time seeing a car commercial before a movie, I was like, huh? We're doing this now?
Yeah,
because it used to be so, oh god, how annoying, these trailers are so long, there's three trailers before the movie and then the movie starts and that's it. and now it's, you know, 40 minutes of a lot of stuff going on before a movie. And I don't know, again, it's the fact that it's that difference is only just because we decided, not because we made it easier. I suppose because it's digital, right? Digital.
Yes.
Makes that easier to play stuff, but it's not like they were, I don't know. Anyway, I'm down on evidence, I'm getting out of, but
we're rusty, folks. We haven't done a pod in forever, but
so,
hey.
But yeah, just the notion of you go to an Alamo right now and somebody will have edited a thing together to be like, catch you up to speed on the Fast and the Furious franchise. That is like really well done and thought out.
Oh, yeah.
And just like actually catches you up to speed on the franchise.
Or like fun thematic things like, of their time, car commercials, you know, interviews with the actors. Yeah, like,
right. But I mean specifically when it is like, hey, if you're a person who's been dragged here, this will genuinely help you understand this, because some of these damn franchises, it's hard to keep track of. We don't have that in 1989, so the dialogue in the movie has to function that way.
Yes.
And that's what's so funny. Is every one of these movies somebody has to go, okay, so Jason Voorhees, kid, drowned, mom didn't like that, so she killed teenagers. Turns out, I don't know, he's not dead or he's undead or I don't know, but now he's around taking up the mantle for his mom who killed people because he drowned. So he goes after teenagers specifically because two lifeguards were necking instead of saving him from drowning.
That's right.
Okay, we good? And they go, I don't believe that, and then immediately have to believe that.
Now, because yes, this movie opens. We open on a boat. Well, there's a bunch of opening shots of New York City.
Yeah, we open with a nice radio DJ monologue.
We cut to a location we won't see again for another hour, you know?
It's just preposterous.
It's so silly.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Of course.
I guess that, yeah, okay, yeah, you know.
Well, I do want to be the little bitch here to go, well, technically, to defend this movie. Again, the movie isn't Jason hangs out in Manhattan for 2 hours. The movie is Jason takes Manhattan. If that happens at the end of the movie, that happens at the end of the movie.
That's
if it happens at the front of the movie, it happens in the front of the movie. You know, like, it's I don't know. It's Peggy Sue got married. Yeah, that happens in the beginning of the movie, but then she travels to, and we're not seeing her getting married. It's about when she's on. Anyway.
The Godfather. There's a Godfather. You're.
But okay, I'm just saying it's not like it never happens. It'd be one thing
exactly,
if Jason
yeah.
takes Manhattan and they never go to Manhattan.
Fesh, you made a fantastic point, and I was trying to like agree with you, and I had
sure.
the worst possible example.
It's hard to just pull a perfect example sometimes.
Let me take
hard.
A look at my DVD case. Let's see. Season of the Witch, Halloween 3. Yeah, this is the witch season. Mm-hmm. Witches show up. It's seasonal. Mm-hmm. Heat, hot movie. Mm. Red Rocket. His penis is the Red Rocket. Mm-hmm. A Hard Day's Night. Those boys had a Hard Day's Night, all right. They worked like dogs.
Right, but I think these are all examples that are people expect. Why people expect Jason to be in Manhattan immediately?
Yes, I guess what I want to bring up is too is it's like I don't know. So I was reading, and apparently in the writer director's original script, there was more of Manhattan. Like they went to this. Statue of Liberty and the Brooklyn Bridge, and then the new Paramount said that's gonna cost too much money. No, so then, and I just gotta say, like, who cares? You know, it's like, what? It's just background.
Again,
I don't know.
It's just, it's something to about this era, and it's hitting the same fucking thesis I always get around in this podcast. But it's just like, again, everybody who's mad about Halloween Kills last year, in 20 years. Halloween Kills is going to be like, this is something they tried to pull. And then, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in there. Blah, blah, blah. Because they're not in the moment. Like, if this is this such a perfect artifact.
Yes.
For us to look back at now. And again, in 1989, in theaters, I don't think anybody gave a fuck. I think they're just like, all right, there are kills. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like,
it's great. Like, teenagers get killed.
Yeah.
I think, too, by the eighth one, you're
it's
like, I just want to see this fucking guy killed.
It's Friday the 13th, part eight. What do you fucking expect?
What, it's also just...
What could
I think,
possibly... What, like, again, the MCU is a different malleable thing, but, like, yeah, Fate of the Furious is silly, too, but I guess more grounded than this. I'm just saying, to have a part eight in a movie that is, like, I think part eight was a little disappointing. It's a bit of a silly thing to say out loud if you really think about it.
It's funny, too, because eight movies is so many fucking movies.
Well, that's the biggest thing about this franchise for me is because I didn't really fuck with any of this until I think even after like we watched the first one together like a year before we started doing this pod. And then I dug in and watched the rest, like, at tail end of 2019, beginning of 2020. And it's so crazy that it is, like, if you tell somebody, by 1989, there are eight movies in this franchise, you're like, okay, so it started in, like, 1965? And they're like, no, it was 1980. First one is 1980, and there are eight ones by, like... That's
and
crazy.
Am I wrong? At some point, there's a TV show.
Yeah, but it's just, again, it was a different mentality at the time where it's like, it's just kind of different stories.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to do with this movie. Like, there's no Voorhees in it, and there's no...
Because I was seeing that the writer-director of the part eight started off on that TV show.
Gotcha. That's cool.
And demanded, he's like, I'll do it if I can direct it. And they go, no. And then no one else wanted to write it, so they said, okay... So this is his first direct.
We were really hoping to get Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
All right, I guess you'll do.
Oh damn! You know what? I wish I was just hanging out with Fran Lebowitz all week, who's friends with Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I could have asked her, "Hey, do you know if Marty ever considered directing Friday the 13th, the TV show?"
Never said no. So we're going to let you do it, but if Martin gets back and says yes, we're going to bump you for Martin.
Yeah. Just, you have the job conditionally.
Asterix, yeah.
If Marty shows up, you're out.
I'm sure that's how most things function, though, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's like Seinfeld showing up to the comedy club. You're just like, it's probably not going to happen, but if it does, sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's always like, you are not our first choice. Okay, but here's the role of your lifetime.
Yep. So, a radio DJ says, hey, this city's all about isolation, man. We got smoke coming out of pipes. I've never been to New York City. I've only seen other movies. Type, 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 type.
Which does, I'd like to bring this up, Fesh. Do you know what that smoke was?
No, never.
I saw it on the street all the time, especially like Greenwich Village, West Village.
I don't know.
7th Avenue.
Oh, yeah. You got to fold the pizza because of the water.
You got to fold the pizza because of the water. Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean something to do with the subway, I'm sure, or construction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Energy's got to go somewhere. It doesn't just dissipate, you know?
That's right.
But yeah, it's and then we fade to these two teen lovers on a boat who are listening to this radio program. So apparently that kind of weird song at the up top was requested to go out to the 15 seniors who are going to go to New York City on a trip from New Jersey. Your senior trip is to go to Manhattan when you live in New Jersey.
Not a stretch. In a way, though, like high school. Yeah, it's silly. It's silly, but.
I mean, did you guys have a senior trip?
I don't know.
Famously, your senior year is a little wonky. You moved.
My senior year, we had a pretty cool. Our prom was in San Francisco City Hall. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we had a party where the rap group The Federation performed. Cool. And that was kind of crazy. It was one of these things where they're like, oh, so they don't go out and drink and drive. We'll get them in a room.
Sure.
And just everyone smoked weed in the parking lot, I guess. I don't know. But did you have a senior trip?
You did. It was to New York City, but it was, you know, I'm from Ohio, so that's like an actual trip. is ultimately my point. It's like,
yes.
It's if you can get there by slow boat, as opposed to a bunch of greyhounds, or, you know, the premise of the final destination, first final destination is the senior trip is to France from Long Island, you know, like.
Yeah,
something that somebody might actually want to feel like, you know, shell out money to do. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of when you're writing, you go, is this accurate? Is that how this works? I don't know. We'll come back to that. Put a pin in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pins in this movie still, where they're just like, again, it's so. In the movie, it's just a movie called Friday the 13th. It is about someone is killing kids at a camp. It is revealed that it is a mother whose son drowned because of negligent teenagers. 7 movies later, a boat captain is upset that his son doesn't want to take after him. Like, just the evolution. Of it's like in Creed 2 where I'm like, all right, so Rocky is this guy, right? And now I'm watching to see if this child is deaf, and that child is the grandson of one of Rocky's opponents who is dead. Okay, got it. And that's a sequel. I mean, you know, I just think it's silly and fun.
Oh, yeah. This is sequels, baby.
Yeah. But yeah.
And I agree. It's silly and fun.
But this boat captain is upset that his presumably 17-year-old son isn't already a master and commander. You gotta blow the foghorn and get on the signal and tell everybody that you're going somewhere. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Now, Fesh.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I've known you this long. I've never asked you this question. Is your dad a master and commander?
He is not.
Ah.
Yours?
My dad is not a master and commander, no.
Yeah.
No sailing in my family.
Yeah, we're not a big boat people. Been on a boat. My uncle had like a boat.
We had a speedboat actually when I was a little kid.
Nice.
And it was kind of a nightmare.
Sure.
So like I was 6 and my sister was 4.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a boat in, we're too little to get a boat into the water because you load it in and it's big and could crush us against things. And my dad was just screaming at us like, get it in there. My mom.
And the whole culture is one of those things where it's like, okay, so the necessity is long gone for this. but we're keeping it alive out of like tradition. Like, I'm sure, again, there are reasons for boats still, but I just mean like for civilians to be on boats. It's there's no
It was
reason.
Purely for fun. Like, there's no reason. We live near a lake or I was so little, I don't fucking know. And
but it still requires
so
much.
Cool, but yeah.
It's still from a time where everybody got their hands dirty and just like, yeah, in order to have fun, you have to be sweating and sunburned and sick. But yeah.
Well, it's like one of those things like, yeah, I would have fun with that when I was 17 and drinking on a boat.
Right.
But like, as a 6-year-old, I'm just like, what? This thing is huge and scary and I got to get in the water. And
again,
I'm,
and when you're a kid too, you're just like, aren't privy to the world's itinerary. You aren't privy to your parents' itinerary. So just one day your dad was like, get in the car.
Yeah. Like,
okay. I was going to play video. All right. I guess we're doing this today.
And it's that funny thing of like, and I get it. Like, you want your kids to be happy people or have hobbies. It's like, hey,
well-rounded or
let them try this thing and maybe they like that and they become world professional water skiers. It's like, oh no, I'm cool, man. You know,
It's just sometimes with dads, it's like, how can you had all of this information going into this? How could you think that this was gonna not be?
I also fundamentally think with some dads of our generation, it's like, you should have just had friends your own age. Like, go on a boat with them. Like,
I know, but it's just hard. It's
and
hard.
I think the cult, I'm sure, because I think their parents were, you know, Great Depression, World War II is like cold, whatever. It's like, we will not be like that. We will love our kids. We will spend all of our time with our kids. It's like, well, sometimes you were getting antsy because like our kids didn't want to party the way you want to party. It's like, just go party with people who want to party the way you want to party.
Yeah.
You know?
But again, you fall out of friends, you move.
That's right.
And this is right before the big internet bubble of just finding a Facebook group that's got whatever specific complaints that you have. I went on the Universal Studios subreddit just because at work and I was just looking around for stuff. And it's so funny. I just assumed that gatekeeping or a specific flavor of gatekeeping was just like, oh, well, yeah, because wrestling fans. And it's like, oh, no, it's the same wherever you go.
Yes.
And it's just, I want to just cite this one example. It's not the most egregious thing in the world. I just thought it was so funny. Just some sweet little theme park dummy it's just like, hey, I know they've announced all of the Epic Universe, or not announced, but I know we pretty much know all of the Epic Universe worlds, but I think it'd be fun to come up with what we think some expansions would be. And they just list one, or they list a couple. It's like, Nostalgia Land, all of the rides that we missed from the other place. A Scooby-Doo, Hanna-Barbera world, or whatever. Perfectly fine. Yeah. Whatever. And then the rides that they pitched were like cute, good rides. And just the first comment is, Scooby-Doo is not relevant anymore. It will never happen. It's like, okay. Nowhere in there did he say Scooby-Doo is relevant. Yeah. And then it's going to happen. But thank you, sir, for just keeping... Thank you for keeping us grounded here on Reddit.com. That's what we needed, is to not do the central premise of this person's thread, you fucking
just like, hey, was my question what's fucking realistic and practical? It's like, no, hey, well, it's also the things like, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, fuck me for injecting some positivity and some, hey, let's have a fun experiment, or what would it if money was no obstacle and if there was nothing stopping us, what would be
money,
so cool?
You're wrong, money is an obstacle, so fuck you.
It's like, hey, here's a fun question. What would make you happy? Nothing makes me happy, so why don't you go fucking die?
Exactly.
Fuck off for getting coming into my fucking space and trying to make me think about something positive.
You nailed it, Jay-Z. That's exactly what happened.
That's like, you know, for years, again, being a wrestling fan for years, being a theater kid, you know, as a child, like, always these insecurities I held of like, oh, my interests, you know, And then 2 years ago, I get into the NBA, and I'm like, and then the Emperor's new, the realizing of it, just like, wait a minute. I was like, oh, these guys are fucking nerds too?
Right.
These guys are toxic fans too? Like, oh, for God's sakes, you know? Like, oh, wait a minute,
And it may be fandom, which is a term I feel like bubbled up slightly more recently. I don't think we were describing things as fandoms.
Yes.
We were kids or whatever, but like, I think maybe that's synonymous with what we're talking about here. There's a difference between interests and fandoms, you know? It's just like, I can be a fan of something, but if this... I feel like ownership, this false ownership is inherently involved when you call something a fandom. It's like, that's my fandom. And, yeah, I don't know. Just, it's... Just like, I don't know. Anyway, so they're on a boat.
They're on a boat. Now, a lot of people have mentioned this. Like, how does, it's a lake, so it means it's a closed body of water. How does the boat get to Manhattan? How does Jason
get
there?
So that's exactly what I'm saying. When you're writing a script, you're just like, I have to do research later, but I got to get the draft done, and then I can fix that later. Mm-hmm. And just like, nope, we don't get back to that. The best.
It's a movie era where everyone's like, you could be the screenwriter who raised that question to, like, oh wait, but like I need to add a scene to explain how that, and the producer goes, oh, no one gives a shit. Oh, right. You don't have to do that because no one cares. Like, oh, okay.
But that's, it's so funny that it's like, if okay, if nobody cares, why do they have to come from Crystal Lake?
Yeah.
Why do they have to be on a boat to go to Manhattan? Why can't the movie just be in Manhattan?
Yeah, like, Jason could just already be there, and we'll just go, I guess he just got there. Who knows?
But it's like, no, the whole movie is about how Jason gets to Manhattan, but we don't have to worry about the central thing that would stop him. Yeah. I guess, yeah, they get out of a lake. That's wild. But these two...
So they're on a boat, and they're talking about Jason, and then all of a sudden, ooh, what's going on? Guy disappears. Girl goes, what's going on? We think we see Jason, but it's just the funny boy wearing a mask, pulling a little goof. Now, and she's scared.
Who? I guess there are survivors of the Friday the 13th movies. But just... sometimes these people know a lot about Jason that I'm like, how would you know that? You haven't encountered him. Like, it's just like the story is a boy drowned and his mom went crazy and then they say he came back too. But anyway, here's all of his iconography from the movies that we know. But then a wire from the boat touches the corpse of Jason Voorhees.
He's
the
back.
SS Lazarus. Do you guys get it? Because that's
right,
coming to life.
They mentioned that in the IMDb trivia section that Lazarus was a character from the Bible.
Yeah, or I mean the Lazarus Pit from Batman for all of us.
Lazarus Pit,
like Batman, but don't know anything about the Bible.
That's right.
Or the Lazarus Effect, one of the Ryan Kavanaugh algorithm movies that didn't hit.
It's
like a Duplass, Donald Glover, I want to say Emily Blunt, maybe, and it's just a nice little thriller that just, nope, nobody, no thanks, we're okay.
Did you see it, Fish?
No, but it looked okay, but it was just like, finding out now years later that Ryan Kavanaugh used an algorithm to make it, I'm like, oh, that explains.
Oh, wait, who's Ryan Kavanaugh?
The guy from, I forget the name of the production company, but it was, he they made Limitless, they made.
American Film Financier.
Yeah, and he's like.
Oh, Relativity Media.
Relativity, that's it, yes. It's like, I've cracked the code, and I have a little supercomputer that helps me make the best movies, and they all, like, Limitless is a hit, and then the rest of them, nope.
I'm seeing he was also involved in some Ponzi schemes.
Yep.
You love it when someone starts their career off with Ponzi schemes, gets arrested on a few accounts, and then goes, guess I got to go move into the movie business. Did I tell you I interviewed for a guy who was a financier fraud and had all these federal crime, white collar crimes?
No.
And now he makes YouTube morality YouTube videos?
It's a great culture we got, man.
It's one of these things where I interviewed for the job. I notified about it so last minute, I didn't research them at all. They asked, do you know about what we do? I go, oh, no,
okay,
I'm sorry.
I remember these texts, yes.
And then I interviewed, it went good. And then I looked into them and I was like, oh, no, what have I signed up for? And then thankfully they passed on me and I was so relieved.
Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
They made videos. Yeah. Oh, my higher power's been looking out for me lately.
That's good.
Maybe not today, but in general, having a little bit of a day, but hey, so it goes.
Your 3 years coming up, right?
Oh,
it just happened?
I'm Pat, yeah. A couple
nice,
of,
congratulations.
Yes, I'm 3 years sober. 3 years plus, a week or two. Yeah.
I always mix up April and May. I don't know why, but I always do.
They kind of blend together as months. Their similarity, but yeah.
Well, congrats, buddy.
Hey, thank you, baby. My brain is good now.
Oh, that's nice.
It used to be bad. Now,
very sweet.
It's blossomed. It's like a blooming onion, this brain of mine. I'm limitless now. Jeez.
Oh, my God. It's like JCT's computer seems to be levitating. It's like Chronicle. It's flipping. It's
That's right. I just wanted to show you some of my new powers.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah. You're like Lucy.
Yes.
You're like limitless and Lucy.
You want to see another one of my powers?
Yeah.
Let's see. Hey, I see there's a mailman in your Zoom. A guy just showed up. Your mailman.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around.
Okay.
Squat.
Oh, he's gone now.
That's right. Yeah. Zip. Whoop. Hey, what's up, Mr. Mailman?
He's in your one now.
Calm down. You're in California.
Whoa, he's adjusted pretty quickly. No, he's smoking a J.
He's
eating a thing of fruits and nuts.
Bet they don't have fruits and nuts in Florida, do they? Bet they don't have J's in Florida, do they?
Wow, he's really going for it. He's humping this California state flag.
Yes. Yeah, I kept a California state flag on my wall just to, you know.
Dump, I
Wake
guess.
Up to you and hump, yeah, you know. Oh no, he's coming on it. Oh,
whoa, that's a lot of cum, man.
Dude, this mailman was full cum.
Oh, he's not done. I think this dude's got the equivalent of your brain for balls. This dude's balls.
Yeah.
Got power.
This guy's balls are limitless. We might need to pause. I need to go get some towels. Jeez
he's
Louise.
Still the mailman that you teleported to California.
Here, I'll open a window. Okay. Yeah. Just. No, it's fine. It's.
Oh, okay. It looks like he's done.
He's good.
What?
He's good.
No, another spurt.
Round two. Oh, boy. Holy moly. Yeah, I'll give you a high five.
Wow. Okay, if that dude's going to keep coming, maybe you should teleport him somewhere else. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's cool. It's cool. I don't want to have to clean this up later. I'm going to teleport you to Crystal Lake. All right. Oh no. See, I told him to Crystal Lake because I thought, he'll just come into the lake because, you know, it's water.
It'll go away in the water.
But what I didn't think about was, oh no, what if Jason's at Crystal Lake?
Oh no, he's coming on Jason's dead body. And that's going to do something. Again, at the time of these movies, just like, and then that does it. When that component hits the corpse. That's what brings him back.
You know what would be fucking crazy is if each little sperm created its own little Jason.
It's not quite that, but I'm excited for us to cover part 9 at some point. It's not that, but something that I think you're going to be into in terms of... You'll see.
That's very cool. I also just want to say I'm bummed.
Uh-huh.
The New Beverly Cinema in Los Angeles, which is a great movie theater, in my opinion. I've gone a couple times. I like it a lot. They're doing a Halfway to Horror theme for May tomorrow, Thursday night. Yesterday, if you're listening to this, they were showing a double feature that you cannot argue with. The Final Nightmare, Nightmare Before on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And Chapter 4, the final chapter of Friday the 13th.
That's a great movie, too.
What a fun double hand.
Really fun. Friday the 13th movie, and the Final Nightmare, is that Freddy's dead, or is that...
It's like, what was going to be the final one, or they build it as the Final Nightmare, you know?
I think that's 6. That one's pretty
five
weak,
or six?
But it should be fun. It's still fun, and you gotta
go.
And you gotta go.
Yeah.
So then for Jason comes back and he kills those two. And then we cut to, again, a captain of a boat yelling at his son for not being into that. A teacher, my favorite thing in the world. Here we go. So this girl's like adopted by the piece of shit vice principal or principal or whatever.
Played by Peter Mark Richmond.
Just with like the grace and the what's the word? The nuance of a Disney villain. Just like,
yeah.
But yeah. And then a teacher drives his niece to go meet them.
And yes.
But before we embark, I want to give you this gift. It is a pen, and then the exact fucking line this teacher says is, Stephen King supposedly used it in high school. Huh? Where did you... What?
Huh? You've
got a pen that legend says Stephen King... used in high school. It's not like he wrote one of his works with it. Just, I don't know, supposedly Stephen King used this pen in high school.
You know what that feels? That feels to me like the first draft was like, this is the same typewriter Stephen King used. Or this was the typewriter. And then a typewriter is going to cost $5,000. Just change it to like a pen. It's like, we lost the typewriter.
Again,
okay.
There's nothing in the budget that says you can't say Stephen King used this to write, you know, Cujo or whatever. Like, but no, supposedly he used it in high school.
In high school.
Unbelievable.
We love it. We love it.
There's a guy who it's 1989, so there's a guy who uses his camcorder to shoot music videos for a girl who slap on the bass, but shreds on the axe, right?
Yes. And she's pretty foxy.
Another great line of dialogue. This guy's talking about the girl he's into. She's so sexy. And she goes, well, so's this axe.
Yeah. Now, what I want to bring up was, according to the trivia, this girl, the axe girl, the actor is named Saffron Henderson.
Okay.
She was voted number 12 on the list of the top 12 boobs of the Friday the 13th franchise by the website Icon versus Icon on October 25th, 2015. To my knowledge, we don't see her boobs in this movie, do we?
Yeah, maybe this might be an issue of cut because, again, horror movies are... Such a fucking... Where did you watch this?
I watched this on the AMC app with commercials.
That might be it then, because so did I. I have it on Blu-ray, but I didn't have the time. I had to watch this at, you know, in the back of
Now, I read this fact while I was watching the movie, and I debated Googling Saffron Henderson boobs, but then I thought, no, don't ruin the surprise. And then that surprise never came.
Yeah.
So shortly thereafter,
Saffron Henderson boobs, and I'm let's, yeah, we got an X videos. Let's see,
ooh,
another episode where we look at, you know, go to a porn website while recording. How about it?
All right, a staple of the pod.
Not seeing anything. It came up, but it's just some.
You know what? I'll check our
JOI videos instead.
Let's see. I'll check our new sponsor, AZ Nude.
Yeah, because Saffron Bach is like a joy model. Julie Henderson body painting, Saffron Henderson nude, but that just looks like porn. Saffron York nude, Bush and Boot. No. Brooke. Yeah, I really. Maybe that's why she's voted last, is because we didn't see her boobs.
We see them. Yeah, so that's probably acknowledging that she's very pretty, but also acknowledging the fact that, like, well, we don't see nudity, so we have to rank her low.
Yeah, nudity isn't crazy. There's definitely a sequence, but it's fairly brief.
Well, another thing I read in the fact,
at least in the cut that we saw,
the producers wanted the hero girl to be nude because they want to subvert the trend where the bad girl gets nude. The only problem is
we love to subvert a trend for
exactly
no fucking okay. Yeah,
and that's the thing too. They also then the mistake they made was the actor who they hired to play the good girl was like, oh, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Then apparently they're like, okay, how about just boobs not fully nude? She goes, no, I'm not doing that. They go, just a bra? She goes, no, I'm not doing it. It's like, and also, yeah, it's another one of the things like, well, why do you want to do that? We wanted to see her naked. She was right. Hot, and we wanted to see it. But she said no. So we asked a couple times, and she still said no.
So we ended up not doing it. But yeah, we get that confounding biology project scene.
So this mean girl, one of the mean girls, she's blonde, who also pushes our hero into the water because she doesn't
like
that
girl. Weird. She's an orphan. What the fuck, dude? What am I going to not push her in the water?
Oh, I forgot she's an orphan. Now I get it. Yeah, hold me back, Vesh. I'm about to jump into the movie and push this girl in the water myself. Orphans.
Yeah.
Orphans are so weird. They have parents, but they're not raised by them.
Or
they're raised by a different set of parents.
Because the parents are dead, too. That's also an option.
Like,
I think that's what the case is in the movie, but yeah.
Orphans, on paper, technically have so many parents. They have the parents that gave birth to them.
Uh-huh.
They have the parents that raised them or didn't raise them or foster parent. It's too many parents. It's so many parents. Like, not, I don't want to pass judgment.
Again, we were just talking about how Reddit is inherently toxic or whatever, but then you look at least in pop culture, what apparently teenage life was in the 80s is, you're wearing overalls? Fuck you!
Yep.
Can you believe she had the audacity to have braces? Fuck
what
you!
Fuck you! Bullying was more... Well, okay, that's getting into Howard Kramer territory, but
yeah,
maybe in some way people were less angry when there was designated bullies. But now...
No, I don't think
we're
that
all
was
bullies?
The case.
No,
I believe Columbine happened because...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Columbine happened. Forgot about
that. So maybe we need to have one night a year where we all get it out of our system.
Here we go. Well, actually, my one solution is just, hey, we're coming close. One more year, and then maybe
social media
goes away in 1 year. That's famously I predicted in 5 years. Social media will be gone.
Or maybe we need to just pull the back of the veneer on social media and stop pretending it's anything but hate. And put all of your hate on this website. But you like everything you can't say in the real world goes here and no one can fucking look at it. And it's just, who cares? I don't know. We're trying to solve the world's problems here, folks. But we understand that we're just a humble little horror movie podcast. Which is...
Look. It'd be fucking crazy if we could, if we did somehow. Yeah. But, you know, that's...
But inherently, this is what it is for us. This is how we get it out. Instead of bullying, instead of gatekeeping, instead of yelling, we come here and we discuss.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
This
we
is
discuss
our
horror movies, yes. This is our outlet.
So, yeah, the one kid's got a camcorder, and he's got a crush on the mean girl.
Right. And he agrees to help her blackmail a biology teacher.
Yeah.
Because she didn't do her homework, or she just shows up at the
So, you know, on your senior trip, which is, I think, after graduation.
Yep.
You still have homework due?
Yeah.
I get, characters practically say TK in this movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, we forgot to remove that from the script. We'll come back to it.
So she starts saying to her teacher, she goes, I'd like to present to you my biology assignment. She takes her robe off and she has drawn the shittiest drawings on her
body. Of some of the organs.
Yeah. Like heart, kidney, spleen.
But
like
also
three
like
or four.
Trachea.
Trachea.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, that's not.
It's like just enough to not cover up the sexy body parts. Which we never ultimately see.
Right. We do ultimately, but not in that scene.
Yeah.
Because she is the one who gets naked and murdered later.
That's right.
But you still don't see that much. But again, that might be just the AMC cut we caught. I don't know.
So then And the teacher says, no, I don't want this.
Guys, you still don't see that much. You still don't see that much.
You don't see enough.
Yeah, you don't see. Do you remember? I don't know. You didn't have an older brother, so maybe this isn't as much of a phenomenon for you. But, like, just the phrase, see it, or they show everything. Or
yeah.
It's just, like, I remember, like, again, because Sable was around at the time of this.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, my brother used to get so excited. This is insane. So it's the Attitude Era, and it's like sometimes if it was delayed, they would blur like middle fingers, but mm-hmm. if it was live, they wouldn't, right? So my brother would be so excited, like, oh, they didn't blur the middle finger. That means if a woman's breasts were to come out, it won't be blurred. They'll show it.
The entire reason I became a WWF fan, not a WCW fan, is...
Yes.
I go over to my aunt's house. She's like, I like WCW, but we can watch WWF if you want. We're flipping back and forth, right? What's on WCW? The tag team Chronic.
Sure.
What's on WWF? Tori. I believe it was Tori. From behind is walking into the ring, and she takes off her clothes. And it's like, I'm going out there naked. And then we catch a commercial. I go,
that's
I'm
Dawn
for
Marie.
Life.
That was Dawn Marie.
Dawn Marie. Okay. Yeah.
Or Terry. Or
I think
Terry.
It was Terry.
Okay. Because Tori, if you're talking Wilson, would still be in
not
WCW.
Not Tori Wilson. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Tori X-Pac never went that. She did that cat suit airbrush thing. I mean, guys, we're just a couple of guys being dudes here.
Well,
all right. We're red-blooded American men here.
Yeah,
okay.
We're boys. We're fellas.
Yeah.
I'll look at. And then, like, they eventually put a t-shirt on her. It was, like, the compromise. But. Hey, still hooked me for life.
Yeah, Dawn Marie would be at post-invasion, so
wasn't her. I'll look it up.
I think it sounds like Terry to me.
She like not Terry Reynolds, because she was taller than Terry Reynolds.
And maybe Tori,
I
want to
say she
know.
Was like affiliated with Kane at some point.
Yeah, okay, then that's DX Tori. All right, I just don't remember this part. Okay, great.
And it was again one of these things like you only remember if you were 10 and watched it that night, but you know.
But now you tuned in every week because you're like, what if they show it this time?
Yeah. It's like,
and again, just it. I just love it. And this movie is also a movie that says the words do it or doing it to describe sex, which is just like, I don't know. Again, if our little baby Zoomer listeners have that, if sex was like this weird contradictory thing where it's like it's all that matters but you're not allowed to say it or talk about it, so you call it like
I was just so annoyed growing up. You hear the phrase T and A,
right?
And no one would tell me what it stood for. I had a neighbor, he's like, this T and A, what does it mean? He's like, I'm not allowed to tell you. It's like, what the
then
fuck?
You shouldn't have brought it up at all, dude. If you can't tell
me what
it
hell?
Is.
What the hell? I can sort of get context clues, but will you just tell me so I don't sound like a fucking moron?
Oh, tits and ass, JCT.
Tits and ass. Thank you, Fesh. Now, okay, I agree. Charlie's Angels 2 Full Throttle did have TNA.
But it kind
of. Exposed.
Right. And I'm not saying a hat, but they don't show it. Show me the titties.
Another not to complain, but you Zoomers, or Zillennials, whatever you're called, maybe not Zillennials, Zoomers. Young kids,
yes, Zoomers.
You don't know how hard it was to see these titties back in the day. Like, there was a kid who had a printout of Carmen Electra, and he would her boobs. He would just show it to us, and we'd pay him money to look at this printout this kid had.
Yeah. Wow. Man, I fast forwarded through Caddyshack to try to see some titties, man.
Yeah.
And they're in there, but it's like, this was also, because we're on a cusp sort of generation. Like, I think I had the internet at that point, but I was still doing that. And it was like, it's like when you watch a skateboarding competition after playing Tony Hawk, you're like, why are they not doing backflip kickflips into, nose grind? It's like, wait, I have access to so much more. This, why am I supposed to get excited for this pretty chaste shower scene or whatever. But yeah,
that's like two. I had a VHS copy of the WWF pay-per-view Armageddon with Vince McMahon versus Triple H main event, but it also had a fatal four-way pool match, evening gown pool match where Miss Kitty showed
her
boobs.
You know, an evening gown pool match.
An evening gown
match. There's nothing hotter in the male mind than women in nice evening gowns going into swimming pools.
Oh, what if they got wet and they were
just
falling around?
Just insane, stupid, idiot men running a terrible business for teenage boys.
I'm just glad they're not in charge anymore, you know? Oh, wait. All those old men got older and still are in charge? Oh, no.
That's crazy. This cancel culture just missed a certain generation of wrestling. It's hitting the world of independent wrestling. It hits wrestlers every now and again. But for some reason, the head honchos who've done a lot of bad shit just are A-okay.
Fucking crazy world.
Yep.
Now, Fesh, I was going to say, maybe I don't have time for this.
No, well, let's go.
So there's a lot of high school kids.
Yeah.
And they're on this boat. What do we think their high school yearbook quotes would be?
Well, if we ever got to see senior predictions, another TK where it's just like, The kid with the camera is like shooting something, and the piece of shit principal / biology teacher is like, "You get down to the hall. The senior predictions are in 15 minutes. What the fuck is that? What are you talking about? Did this person not go to high school? What senior predictions?
I will Google it because I almost wouldn't be surprised if that is a super Canadian thing. Or let's see. Here's a high school prediction. High school graduates are projected to be higher in 2021 to 2022 than in 2008.
Take that, everyone who doubted this generation. Yeah. I think all of their quotes would be, you know, the video camera guy is like, any way you frame it, I'm going to be the next Marty Scorsese, you know. The girl will have a music pun one.
I was thinking the Sailor Boys would be, let us set sail for the greatest. I had it all funny in my head. Let us set sail for the wildest seas known to man, our future. Something like that.
There it is.
You know,
I had it all funny in my head is a pretty good senior quote. Hey, is there not a stoner in this movie? That's crazy.
I guess not.
No,
I guess either the rocker girl or the film guy
fill that role, but there's no just like, hey, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He probably failed. It was on suspension, so he wasn't allowed to go on the trip.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yes, Jason throws that girl into a mirror when she's naked and kills her.
Pretty good kill.
There's like a boxing club on the boat. Just like in Leprechaun 4 in space, there's a disco on the boat that nobody goes into, but the music's still pumping. And the friend of the mean girl gets chased there by Jason and killed there.
Mm-hmm. Who is Asian. It's trivia. It's fact. She's the first Asian character in the Friday the 13th.
I thought you were going to say, like, Cranches. Who is the woman who played somebody we've covered before? I was like, yeah.
And fun fact, her ancestry is from China.
Uh-huh. All right, let's see. Let's
just
look her up. All right, let's see. Kelly Hu. Who? Okay, so this is what I thought, though. Who is Lady Deathstrike in X-Men 2?
Oh, fun. Yes, Kelly Hu. She's very pretty.
She's also in Surf Ninjas.
No way!
Yeah.
Who is she in Surf Ninjas?
She's Romay.
Big role, small?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I threw on.
That was one of my favorite movies as a wee little lad.
Oh, I lost my mind in the theater, but I don't think I've ever seen it since, actually.
We'll have to cover it in this pod someday.
Someday.
Someday, when my life has passed me by.
Yeah, so she's Lady Deathstrike, and she gets a death strike in this one, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean.
Kills the cameraman kid. Who makes it to Manhattan? The piece of shit teacher, our final girl, the sea captain's
Sailor
son.
Boys.
Yeah.
The black guy?
The boxing kid, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right?
Does the nice teacher who
the nice
gave
teacher
her the pen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Our
hero girl gets kidnapped by two street thugs.
Just some real characters.
Shoot her up with heroin?
It's New York, baby. It's and fucked up.
She gets high, and then Jason kills them, and she sobers up. I would sober up, too, if I saw Jason.
That's what happened 3 years ago, right?
That's
somebody
right.
Somebody murders some street thugs. He said, I got to quit this stuff.
I was shooting up some heroin in a theme. I saw two street thugs get murdered by a man in a mask. I said, I'm sober now.
Hey, guys, I'm sober now.
Yes.
So I think this movie, in a nutshell, and culture, maybe, a subsect of culture, of just the cartoon nature of all pop culture, is when they run into the diner, who famously is open till 3 a.m., which is like, at that point, you're open 24 hours. Like, if you're going to be open to 3 a.m. as a diner, like, that's a disadvantage. It's not, you're just open late enough to be annoying for the people working there, but not open late enough to be convenient for everybody. They come and they go, a madman's trying to kill us.
Welcome to New York.
And it's like, what you're, huh? You're reporting that. I know it's pre Giuliani, and that's not something I've ever experienced. I'll admit it.
Yeah, it was scary by all accounts. Yeah.
But a madman's trying to kill us. Welcome to everybody who lives here, which is roughly what? 8 million people is being chased by a murderer. Get used to it.
And then 2 seconds later, Jason just pops through a wall. Our heroes run away. A big, tough kitchen guy is like, hey, buddy, you can't just be walking through the door.
Boom. Again, this movie doesn't take place in Manhattan. This movie takes place in New York, you know, the New York from the movies, where toxic sludge is just in the subways at midnight every night. You know, like, again, nothing sums it up more to me than like, oh, New York City, it's full of big, dark alleyways. And then you go to New York City and there's not one fucking alleyway. There's zero.
It's like there's one in the Lower East Side
that is used to shoot movies.
Yeah. We don't. There are no alleyways.
There's no room for alleyways. What are you talking about?
There's no room for alleys. They weren't built with those in mind.
Yeah. But yeah, that's again, New York.
Exactly.
In quotes. So we start to parse out our main hero's past, which is that this biology teacher is her uncle. Real piece of shit guy. And he was so mad that his niece will not learn to swim. She promises me that she will learn to swim every year, and then she shows up and doesn't know how to swim. That he throws her overboard and says, you don't deal with it. You gotta learn. It's almost like in Superstar, like the parody of a tragic past that, like, where he's like, throws her in the water and he looks, he yells at her, and goes, "You'll learn to swim." Yeah. While she's drowning.
Also, she pushes her in. She's scared. She kind of instantly figures it out. She's floating.
Right.
It's like, yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's
that
swimming.
Is, but that is a lot of people who can't swim's thing. Is like,
is it just psychological?
It's a matter of
fear.
Trust. It's like, yeah. You get, like. Because it's thinking about swimming is pretty wild. You're just like, yeah, I don't know. I just trust that I'll float. And then if I don't, I can navigate it. And I don't know. It's the same thing with riding a bike. It's like, it's not that hard. It's just like,
you got to get over the mental hurdle of, I do this?
This?
Like, no,
yeah.
No.
It's wait,
like, yeah,
I have, I inherently know the balance. I don't trust that. It's like, I don't know. It's honestly like learning anything. But,
mm-hmm.
But and then yeah, so she has some kind of bond with Jason now, right?
Well, it is one of the cool things about this movie. She keeps hallucinating, like, whoa, and she thinks she sees little Jason, you know, with a scarred face from the bottom of the lake. And we do got to say too, Jason unmasks in this movie. Mm-hmm. He first shows his he kicks a boombox playing hip hop. Or I guess
I'm living in the city ain't no big deal. Living in the city ain't no big deal. Love
Jason goes kick, and they go, "Hey, buddy, we're gonna fight you." He shows them their face. They go, "Yikes!"
Now it's not March Madness, but we gotta take it head to head. That moment versus that's not a knife. This is a knife. Who wins? It's both about how these young guys who are coded as liking, you know, urban stuff aren't as tough as our knife wielding white man.
Yeah. I think I gotta give it to Croc Dundee.
This ain't that's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah, only because it's more iconic and
sure,
known.
Sure.
And maybe that's just the way history book is written by the winners. Mm. You know, but yeah.
But yeah, it definitely feels just like that, and just ugly racism. That is even again. I think it is a mixed crew of folks, but the fact that they are blaring hip hop and you go kick, it's just like that's supposed
to
get a
crew,
cheer.
In this movie, they're all white kids.
They are all white. Okay.
Yeah, they're all white punks, you know. Or
but they're still blasting that hip hop, and he doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
I guess too. At that time, it was like hip hop was more this is the street music. This is dangerous stuff, you know. Even though if you listen to any hip hop,
again,
that,
the lyrics are
was like, I'm living in the city
to
and
a
I like
house.
To hang.
Yeah, it's
my friend came over and we sang. Just like, yeah, this is the
call the police. Living in the city is no big deal. So
do you like the look of Freddy's face? I think it's like Jason? Jason's face. Yeah, it's within
always.
The movie. I like
always
it's
love
funny.
It. Always love it. Yeah, it's but again, silly. It's also not a big deal because we've seen his face before. Like that's the other thing. It's like he didn't start wearing the hockey mask till the third one. It's I don't know. I think maybe that gag should have been Beetlejuice. Gag where he holds up the thing and we see it just from the back, and then it's like there's some special effects or something that make it grodier that but it's up to our imagination to understand what really was. There's a giant billboard for hockey or something that like just it's so we can have him standing under a billboard that has the same mask as him.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is that for? There's not really words on it. And it's also just like, that's your that's a city beat to you. It's like, oh, what we could do is, because you know, when you go to a city, there's billboards.
there's billboards. And what if a billboard was similar to, it's like half an idea.
Again, this thing is so close in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And then just not finished cooking. It's so charming. It's so cute. But yeah.
It's
so
a very cute, fun movie.
The radioactive waste gets on Jason. You know, again, real New Yorkers understand that at midnight, every night, toxic waste is poured into the sewers. Okay? And it turned... I have seen this movie before. And like I said, I was watching this back in the back at work. And I got a little distracted. Is it just a hallucination, or does the toxic waste actually turn Jason into a little boy again?
Oh, I think that's a hallucination.
Okay. But it does turn him into like a goopy, even more goopy monster eventually.
Yes.
And there you go. We made it out. We survived.
We survived. Now, I do want to mention one final fun piece of trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Kane Hodder who played Jason between take. It was a very serious, scary movie, but he kept the mood on set fun and alive because between takes, he would disco dance in his costume.
Kane Hodder is that is borderline like the moon vest guy radio guy, where it's like, I was in that movie. Did you guys know that I was in that movie? I was in that movie. Did you know that? He's like the I mean, any convention is gonna is just full of people like that, I suppose. But it's just something like, I was on one hit sitcom. It's John Heder almost. He's practically John Heder, where it's just like,
yeah,
I shouldn't really have a career, but I get to. I don't know. Yeah, Kane Hodder.
Kane Hodder. Well, cool.
Disco's funny.
Disco is funny. Well, let's see. And another fun fact I love is, I read, who knows, the cast of the movie, the young cast, they were really determined. They said, let's make this the best one yet of the franchise. They were determined. And also, this just sounds fun.
Failed.
The day before they started filming, they had a marathon where they watched the first seven
that
movies
ruled.
In a row.
That I love. That's good.
Very cool. Yeah.
Now, again, I wish anybody on the actual creative side of it had the same ambitions and interests and done that. But
here, Fesh, you play a young actor. I'm going to play a producer on this movie. Okay. And all I want you to do is tell me, oh, hey, so we watched all those movies yesterday.
So yeah, I'm really excited to get to work today. Just we're all really pumped to be here. We want this to be the best one yet. We actually all marathoned the previous seven movies yesterday.
Oh, why did you do that? We didn't ask you to do that. You didn't have to do that. Did someone make you do that? I'm in charge, and I didn't tell anyone to tell you to do that.
But you're saying that isn't billable hours?
No. Who said it was billable hours? Oh no! You
and
all
is
put
there
on
any
your
truth
time
to
sheets?
The rumor that if I say your name backwards, you get sucked into this crystal here?
No! Don't do that. If I get sucked into that crystal, who's gonna make the call sheet for tomorrow? Little do they know, it's the same time, location, any fucking.
Yeah, that's why the whole movie's on the boat. I'm living in the city, and it's no big deal.
We live
you
in
gotta
the
make
city,
your money.
And
you
it's
gotta...
super real.
Yeah, that's good. But yeah, it's again just I say iconic jokingly a lot, and I kind of mean it jokingly here. But it's at the same time where it's just like the icon of like. Yeah, Friday the 13th, you know, in 4 they go to space, and Jason eventually goes to space, and this thing happens. Yeah, in the 8th one, it's mostly shot in Canada on a boat, but it's supposed to be New York City. Like, it's just an iconic sequel failure, and we love it for that.
Yes, we love it. Now, Fesh, box office game.
All right, let's do it.
Number one, Disney studio. Studios
what
picture.
What time of year of it? It's 1989. Oh, yes, it's what?
July 28th, 1989.
So it's Little Mermaid.
No, live action.
Oh.
Man and an animal.
Turner and Hooch?
That's right, making $12 million. Wow. Number two, a sequel to an action movie. Goes
Lethal
on
Weapon
to be a franchise. That's right.
Cool.
Number three, a superhero movie that.
Batman.
Yep. Number four, a romantic comedy.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yes. And number five, Friday the 13th, part 8.
Hey, you made it into the top five. Way to go, buddy.
Number six, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Honey, I fucked up.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
But baby, if the kids are shrunk, that means we can have sex all night. That's right, bitch. Get some cigarettes. We're going to fuck in the living room all night. Okay. And scene. It's a little play I wrote.
If,
I wanted to.
I'm sure this is like a Chappelle Show level joke, but just like in 2003, we're making an all black remake of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And it's, you know, a title I can't say. But blank, I shrunk the kids. Or I shrunk the kids, blank, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, Paul Mooney makes the joke, not me.
Hey, you know, It didn't stop Neil Brennan, a white guy, from writing the sketch. Why should it stop you, Fesh?
Yeah, that's a good... That's
Say
good...
the word!
No!
I got you. I almost got you.
Yeah, I got an N-word for you. No!
I got two N-words for you. No thanks.
Well, hey, do you guys want to tell them or should I?
Tell me what?
But no, of course, the remake is going to be called Shrunk.
Yeah.
Which is better. It's cleaner and better than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And interesting title, you know? That's why that movie made money, is because it's called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. But it was supposed to be called Teeny Weenies. Did you know that?
Oh.
The guy who wrote it really went to bat and was like ready to walk if he couldn't call it Teeny Weenies.
It's just like that name sucks. It doesn't. It's like it could, that for to me could be a Porky's ripoff, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
or the straight to VHS, you know, mockbuster of Honey.
Yeah. Or it could be a lot of, there ain't nothing clearer than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
It's who, what, when, where, why, right there.
It's the best goddamn title of all time. Are you fucking kidding me? There's one title better than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. A Hard Day's Night.
Okay.
Yeah, that title, tell who, what, where, you know. Yeah. Also, but just.
Isn't there a title that is literally Who, What, Where, Why? Because that's funny. Not like the name of it, the movie is Who, What, Where, Why, but it's like.
Maybe.
Ernest goes to camp because.
Don't tell mom I killed the babysitter.
Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. Yeah.
That's close.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Doctor Strangelove,
okay,
or how,
yes.
I learned to stop
that's
love the bomb.
That's up there. That's up there. Okay. I was just looking for that.
All right.
Well, my voice is getting hoarse.
That's right.
And
we must head off to our boudoirs, respectively.
Yeah, but it's good to be back in the New York groove.
Now, Fesh, I hate to ask a favor of you.
Yeah.
If I were to time warp you over to my apartment, would you help me clean up all this mailman cum?
Mailman cum is
it's a two-man
funny
job.
Phrase. Mailman, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Mailman cum. Mailman cum. Mailman cum. Tongue twister.
Man, sure.
All right, cool. Zip. Hey, Fesh, the cum was already cleaned itself up. I just wanted you to go see this double feature of the New Beverly with me.
Okay, what was that sound when I got here?
Oh, that was just that was my cum. I had a wild session last night, and I passed out. It was so intense, and then I forgot to clean it up, and I'll clean that up myself.
Okay. Then, yeah, let's go see the New Beverly movies.
Okay, cool. Great.
And with that,
we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Telling the truth can be dangerous. Telling the truth can be dangerous business. Lying and podcasting go hand in hand. If you admit you were scared of a movie, then I was scared too, could be your jam.